You may have heard it said from someone as you talk to people throughout life, I can worship God anywhere. I don't need a church. And that's a lie. We all need a church. Yes, you can worship God anywhere, but we all need a church because there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You cannot be an obedient Christian outside the community of a church. Let me say that again so that you get it right. What I'm not saying is that you can't be a Christian outside the church, right? In other words, you don't need the church to be saved. But what I'm saying is you cannot be an obedient Christian outside the community of a church. There are so many one another commands given to us. We're told to love one another, honor one another, build up one another, live in harmony with one another, be like-minded with one another, to admonish one another and care for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to forgive one another, to be patient with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms. And it goes on and on of all the one another commands that we have in the Scriptures. And as we look in the book of 1 Peter, we have seen from Peter, he has shown us that all Christians are brought into God's nation through the new covenant, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, through faith in the work of Christ. And as God's people, we are sojourners in this world because our true citizenship is in heaven. And we are a part of God's nation. And as God's people, we are currently exiled from our eternal promised land. So as we journey through this life on our way to our eternal promised land, God has given us a community to be responsible to and leaders to whom we are to follow. These are the members of a local church and their elders, sometimes called pastors or shepherds. And there should be unity among the members of God's nation. We are all under His rule. And Peter briefly addresses this issue of unity in the local church in one verse in 1 Peter 5:5. He says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." There are no Lone Ranger Christians. The congregation's unity on their way to the promised land is what we're going to look at today. We, as Americans, tend to be very individualistic. And I can remember when I was growing up, there was a comic called OMAC, O-M-A-C, and it stood for One Man Army Corps. You know, it's just one really bad guy, man. You know, he was tough. And a few years ago, the United States Army had a slogan, an army of one, you know, and they dropped that slogan. If I remember correctly, they were getting too many guys that didn't want to be team players, right? Because they just thought they were the army of one, and they were going to be that OMAC that was going to be the one man army corps. God has created us to need one another on our journey to our promised land. And so there are no Lone Ranger Christians in our day. So I want us to see, first of all, the posture of unity that we should have towards elders, and that is submission. The posture of unity towards elders is submission. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." The elders here, as we saw last time, are the pastors of the church. And I believe that the younger referenced here is referring to those who are not elders. In other words, it's the congregation of believers. He tells them to be subject. That verb is in the passive voice. So you are to subject yourself to the elders. It's a voluntary submission to God's ordered structure in His church. If you cannot submit to the elders of a particular church, then find another church where you can. But whatever you do, submit yourself in church membership somewhere. And please consider this, and don't get mad at me, okay? Well, actually, you can get mad at me if you want. But I am just the messenger. If you find yourself going from church to church to church, having trouble submitting to the elders, the problem might not be the elders. Okay? The problem may be you. And that's where this issue of submission comes in. Because if you're looking for the church that has perfect elders, you're not going to find them. The perfect shepherd is Jesus Christ. We are all under shepherds under him. And then the second thing is, if you're looking for an elder or elders who agree with you on everything, you've just encountered mission impossible. Okay? So, be subject. Be subject. It's so important for you to submit yourself in membership somewhere. Why? Well, it's because your sanctification is a group project led by pastors. Your sanctification, your growth into the image of Christ, is a group project led by elders. Find a church led by elders to whom you can submit yourself and join it, because there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Now, what does it mean to be subject in this context? What does it mean to be subject to elders in a church context? Well, I've given this definition, looking at some different commentaries, different things. Being subject in this context means to have a disposition of trust in God's appointed leaders. Have a disposition of trust in God's appointed leaders. Hebrews 13:17 tells us that elders are going to give an account for their leadership of you and the church. So elders need to lead in the best interest of the church. Elders are going to give an account for leading. Members are going to give an account for submitting. Now, what are some areas of your life that you need to submit to the elders of your church? And when I say that, have a disposition of trust, we're going to look at some areas later on where you shouldn't submit to your elders. Okay, we recognize that there can be abuses, and so you have to be aware, right? But you want to trust. It's why character matters so much in the selection of pastors. It's why that's such the emphasis in the New Testament. So what are some areas of your life you need to submit to the elders of your church? The first is your spiritual growth. The first is your spiritual growth. Your sanctification is a group project led by elders. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we get this little statement that we have. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verses 1 through 3. Paul is writing, he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And so he's saying, you need to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. I'm urging you to walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ. Be Christ-like. Skip down to verse 7. In the context, we are to bear with one another. And he says in Ephesians 4:7, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Every one of us has a gift that God has given us to which we can serve one another in the church. Now look down to verse 11, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16. "So how then are we to use those gifts and to grow? It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." Now that shepherds and teachers, those are our words for elders there. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Well, what's the work of ministry? For building up the body of Christ. "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so when we are born again, we are born again. We are babies in Christ. And God has given pastors to lead the church in helping the membership Do the work of ministry. The work of ministry is raising up disciples and helping them to mature until they reach the fullness of Christ. The thought that I like to use is, in your home, you may have had a place where you marked the kids' height as they grew. And he talks in this passage about the full measure of Christ. We are to grow up to be like Christ in the church. And so he has given us one another, led by pastors, to be grow up into the image of Christ. And so you are to submit the oversight of your spiritual growth to the elders, because there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Your sanctification is a group project led by elders. Then another area is the oversight of church finances. We see that in Acts 11, verses 27 through 30. Now, this is the church in Antioch, and they are growing physically and spiritually. And it says, in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined there in the church in Antioch, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders of the church in Jerusalem by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. And so an offering was made by one church. It was given to another church, but it was given to the elders so that they could oversee the distribution of that gift for the poor as they went through this famine. And so the elders direct the distribution of church finances. Now, in our church, this is managed through the creation of the budget, which the elders oversee with the help of the finance committee. So there's elder oversight or pastor oversight over the budget, and then you approve the budget because it's your money given to the Lord. And so we're managing it. And so we want your approval of the budget. So that's how that works here at Faith Baptist Church. So oversight of finances. There's oversight of spiritual service in Acts chapter 6 when the widows were not being fed. Not all the widows were being fed. The apostles then, which were the elders of the church of Jerusalem, they told the people, select people from among you to whom we can appoint to this service. Okay? And so they did that. They picked out some men, and then the apostles appointed them, gave them the authority to oversee the feeding of the widows. So oversight of the spiritual service. The congregation recognized the problem and they brought it to the leaders of the church. The leaders of the church directed the people to choose deacons. And then the leaders of the church appointed those who were chosen and gave them authority to oversee the ministry to the widows. So there's oversight of spiritual service. There'll be needs that the church may recognize and bring to the pastors. And then the pastors will appoint people to oversee that ministry. In our next example, if you look over to Acts chapter 13, I want you to see the church's involvement, not just the pastors of the church, but the church's involvement in sending out church planters and missionaries. See, Christians are to submit not just to the elders, but to the congregation's authority. An individual doesn't just decide to go and plant a church. Let me say that again. An individual doesn't just decide to go and plant a church. They may feel led to do that, but it is the church that needs to authorize it. Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. It says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, now the commentaries tell us that it says while they, that's speaking of the church, they're not just the individuals that were listed. While the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. After fasting and praying, after the church fasted and prayed, they sent them off in verse 3. But then verse 4 equates their sending them off as the Holy Spirit sending them. See, they gave their authority to them, and they commended them to that work. We don't have time to go into it, but when Paul and Barnabas were going to go back and visit the churches, they had a disagreement about who should go. Because Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul said, no, Mark's not went. He backed out on us the last time. We're not going to take him. And so Barnabas took Mark and left, and Paul took Silas with him. And it's interesting there because in that passage it says that Paul and Silas were commended by the church to go visit the other churches. Now the rest of the Bible, we don't hear much about Barnabas anymore. The blessing of the Lord was on Paul and Silas's ministry and followed it on. So the church's involvement and blessing on church planting is very important because there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You are to submit to your fellow church members and the church in planting other churches. Now, what if the elders or the church disagree with what you think is best? Well, you submit to the authority placed over you. I can remember when I was being ordained, they said, what are you, you're going to be asked in your ordination, what will you do if we do not ordain you to the gospel ministry? And then they told me that my answer should be that I'm going to preach the gospel anyway. But I disagree with that. If the spiritual leadership of the church says you're not ready to go preach the gospel as an elder, then you need to submit to those elders until they say you're ready to go. Okay? It would be in disobedience to this verse that Peter gives us, submitting to your elders. Now, would that be disappointing? Yes, yes. Disappointment occurs when my expectations are not met. And that's when we're tempted not to submit. Any of you ever, any of you have children? Can you raise your hand? All right. Maybe some of you don't have children yet. Were you ever a child? Yes, right? We were all children at one point. Listen, children in the home don't have a problem submitting when they are getting their way. Right? It's when they don't get their way that you find out if they are submissive to their parents. It's the same with church members and their pastors. I like to put it this way. You never know how godly a person is until they disagree with their spiritual authority. I remember when I went off to seminary, the church that I left from had some difficulties with a man in the church. And I thought he was a very godly man. But it turns out that when the church leadership was wanting to go in one direction and he didn't, he threw a fit. He threatened to sue the church and all these other things. And I'm just like, man, this doesn't sound like this guy. But the fact of the matter is that while he was in agreement with the leadership of the church, there were no problems. He's just like a child. It's when he disagreed that his real spiritual state came out. You never know how godly a person is until they disagree with their spiritual authority. Until then, their submission is easy because the leadership is doing everything they think is best anyway. Think of Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness. His authority was frequently challenged. Submission for anyone is easy when they agree with the decisions being made. Submission is difficult when you're unsure of the decision being made. And submission is difficult. It's hard when you disagree with the decisions being made. But the command remains, be subject to your elders. Character matters. It's why character matters. You may not necessarily trust the decision that's being made, but you trust the person making the decision because you trust their character and their walk with the Lord. So, submit to your elders. But then there are times when not to submit. Times that you are not to submit to your elders. First one that we'll look at is in Galatians chapter 1, is when false doctrine is being taught. Okay, in areas of teaching and how we walk in our Christian life, there are three big general categories. I like to draw three circles. I should have put it up on the screen, but I didn't. I forgot to put it in. But at the center of our teaching and our beliefs and our faith are what we call the core doctrines. So if you wanted to draw a circle and draw right in the middle of it, core doctrines. Those are the doctrines that relate to the gospel. If anybody teaches a doctrine that goes against the gospel, then Galatians 1, 8 through 9 says this, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed under the curse of God." So if I get up here and I start preaching anything that's not salvation by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone, then you need to get me out of here. Okay? You're not to submit to me, you're to put me out of the church. That's your responsibility. Paul makes it very clear there in Galatians 1. So that's those core beliefs. Then we have another circle outside of that, which would be convictions, right? And that's what makes a Baptist church Baptist. We have those convictions. We believe that a person shouldn't be baptized until they're after they're saved. And so we don't baptize babies. And then there's other convictions that we have that would be how we're governed as a church, baptism by immersion, and those different things. Those are not gospel related, but they're related to us being a Baptist church. So those are those convictions. And so if you want to be a member of Faith Baptist Church, you need to believe the gospel, and you need to agree with us about our convictions as a church. But then there's a third category, the bigger circle, that we call charity beliefs. And these are things where we can disagree about them, but still be members of the same church. Things that fall into this category would be like, when is the Lord going to return? Are you a dispensationalist, pre-tribulation, rapture, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation? Are you an amillennialist? You know, and these different beliefs about the Lord's return. We believe the Lord is going to return. We just differ about the details of it. We can agree to disagree on those things and still be members of the same church. Okay, so when not to submit, if those core doctrines, or in since we're in a Baptist church here, in those conviction areas, not to submit. So do not submit to elders who are leading the church to betray core doctrines of the faith. The next time not to submit is for sinful practices. In particular, the scriptures warn about false teachers, and we won't go into it for sake of time, but false teachers were warned in 2 Peter. They despise authority and they promote lack of self-control in the areas of pleasure and finances. Okay, so sinful practices. Do not submit to elders who are leading people into sinful practices. And then a third category is disqualified elders. In our day, someone who has been disqualified as a pastor at one church, a lot of times will just simply go and start another church or become a pastor at another church. If a pastor has been disqualified from ministry, then do not submit to them. They didn't become unqualified or requalified instantly. Okay? So just like church members will sometimes hop churches, sometimes pastors will too. So do not submit to disqualified pastors. And so there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Your sanctification is a group project led by elders, so submit to qualified elders. But not only that, we need to have a posture of unity towards one another. A posture of unity towards one another in humility. The second part of 1 Peter 5:5 says this, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That word, clothe yourselves, it's a rare word that refers to a slave putting on an apron before serving. That's from the Expositor's Bible Commentary. And that's going to remind us of Christ putting the servant's garments on and washing the feet of his disciples. And we won't go into that passage again for sake of time, but Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took the servant's garments and he washed the feet of the disciples. He is as the master, submitting himself as a servant to others. And Thomas Schreiner, in his commentary, says this: smooth relations in the church can be preserved if the entire congregation adorns itself with humility. When believers recognize that they are creatures and sinners, they are less apt to be offended by others. Humility is the oil that allows relationships in the church to run smoothly and lovingly. Pride gets upset when another does not follow our own suggestions. That's Thomas Schreiner. So the opposite of humility is conceit, thinking that you are better than someone else. It's thinking that you are worthy to be served or to be heard or listened to versus serving others. Paul addressed conceit and humility in Philippians 2:3. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Christian brother or sister, you are more important than me. That's the attitude that we need to have with one another. I'm here to help you, to serve you. Now, you may have a little bit too much humility to where you don't want to, you fear you can't help others. You may say, Pastor, I can't help anyone. I'm a terrible Christian. Well, listen, we're all sinners. We all should be growing in the grace and knowledge of God into Christ's likeness. We all need one another. And you can help others grow in Christ's likeness. In fact, humility is a great way to approach discipleship. I have this definition of a Christian disciple maker. A Christian in need of grace, showing grace to others and pointing them to Jesus. A Christian in need of grace, that's the humility, showing grace to others and pointing them to Jesus. We all need grace. And Peter knows this, and so he quotes from the Greek translation of Proverbs 3:34 and shows us how we can have God's grace given to us. We're to humble ourselves. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So when you have a disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ, humble yourself. Serve one another. Treat your brothers and sisters as if they are more important than you. If you're confronted about your behavior, don't react in pride, but rather humble yourself and listen. Perhaps your brother or sister is giving you a word from the Lord that will help you grow and be more like Christ. You see, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Your sanctification is a group project led by elders, so live humbly with your fellow members of Faith Baptist Church. Who are you investing in discipleship? Humble yourselves towards one another and help one another. So when we hear someone say, I can worship God anywhere, I don't need a church, that you can understand that that's a lie. We all need a church because there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You cannot be an obedient Christian outside the community of a church. Now, if you're here this morning and you say, well, I'm not even sure about a church. I'm not sure that I'm even saved. I would encourage you, if you understand that you're a sinner, you will not be able to stand in the presence of God, and that Christ came as a solution to that problem. He died for our sins on the cross, and He was resurrected to be with God, so that if we place our faith in Him as our sacrifice for our sins, God will forgive us of our sins and save us. And so if you've never trusted Christ before, repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior and follow Him with your life. And if you're here this morning, I would urge you to do that. But if you are a Christian, but you're not a member of a local church, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. So pick a church to join where you can submit to the elders and walk in humility with the other members. Join us here as we follow Jesus on our journey to the eternal promised land. Members of Faith Baptist Church, submit to your elders. And if you can't submit to your elders here at Faith Baptist Church, then find a church somewhere where you can. Walk in humility towards your fellow members as you help disciple them. And then remember that a disciple maker is a Christian in need of grace, showing grace to others and pointing them to Jesus. As we journey through this life on our way to our eternal promised land, God has given us a community to be responsible to and leaders to whom we follow. There should be unity among the members of God's nation under His rule. As such, we are commanded to have a posture of unity in submitting to our elders and humbly serving one another. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. Are you submitting to your elders and humbly serving others? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to come here this morning and to look at the role of the church member in a congregation. I pray, Father, that You will work in our lives. Help us, Father, to love and serve one another as You have commanded us. Lord, You are good. And we have the example of Jesus Christ who came not to be served, but to serve others. And Father, we pray that You will help the pastors here to be godly pastors, to walk humbly with You, and to have wisdom from You on how to lead this church in the work of the ministry, in building up others into Christ's image. And then, Father, I pray for our members here at Faith Baptist Church, that You will help us to serve one another and invest in one another and help one another grow into the image of Christ. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.